making our way down the trail this morning with Serena Dufault of Trails Inspire, celebrating Hike Like a Girl Day. I get this segment. Romy gets Garden in the Nude in his Outdoor Living Gardening Hour next hour. So I don't know how you're going to handle that, buddy, but it's all yours.
Can't wait for the guest.
Okay, he opted for beef. All right, don't get all excited.
It's what's for dinner.
And it's Cinco de Mayo. So we're celebrating a lot of things today. We're celebrating right now the great outdoor trails of Arizona. We've been talking with a suburbanite turned adventurer who's actually hiked the Arizona Trail twice, is in the midst of getting the Grand Canyon Traverse under her belt. That's 600 miles, folks. That's the length of the Colorado River, not across the Grand Canyon. We're here with Serena Dufault. Serena, we're talking a little bit about all the things you could do. Let's talk about some of the trailheads and hiking opportunities people have in the bigger communities around Arizona. I think Arizona has done a fabulous job. You've got Flagstaff, Prescott, Payson, Phoenix, Tucson. Talk about what urbanites and suburbanites opportunities have.
Right. So one of the things that I just recently did in March, I did a through hike of the Loop, which is Tucson's urban trail system. And it's 131 miles. I did a loop that was about 80 miles of the trail system. And, you know, these urban interfaces, it's a great way to introduce people to the outdoors. And it's everything, you know, on the loop, you have everything from total beginners to people that are training for marathons and long bike races. And these kinds of things are fantastic because it makes the outdoors more accessible to a larger number of people.
Oh, Tucson deserves such a round of applause for what they've done to revitalize that whole Santa Cruz Riverbed area. I mean, what that was 20 years ago and what it is today is just fabulous.
That hike actually really surprised me. It was 5 days and 80 miles, and I was so amazed at how diverse the environments were that we were going through, and then also just the art and the parks and, you know, obviously the views because it's Arizona and, you know, Tucson's in a basin with five mountain ranges. But, you know, it was wonderful. And then that sense of community, it builds a sense of community to have these trails. You're saying hi to your neighbors, you know, it also provides opportunities for people to commute. Years ago, I used to commute on a piece of the loop. I used to walk 2 miles to work, and it was wonderful because, you know, in the right kind of weather, why not?
And the footing looks like, by the picture, all kinds of footing.
Right. Yeah. So and one of the nice things about the loop is that it's almost entirely separate from cars. And so instead of crossing a street, you'll go under an underpass. And there's very few places where you're actually interacting with traffic. And you have paved surfaces. Almost the entire thing is paved. But then there's also a lot of times there'll be a pedestrian path next to it. And so really just a very forward-thinking thing because these trails actually came from the floods of 1983 when they washed out the banks. 13 people were killed. It was a horrible disaster for Tucson. And so when they were shoring up the banks, they decided, why don't we put a recreational path on top of it, which is amazing. And so to have seen this entire system come to, you know, get completed, it's just such a wonderful asset for Tucson.
Prescott has the Circle Trail.
Yep, absolutely. That's one of the things I'm looking at to do next is to do a similar hike where I take people with me. Because when I did the loop hike, I was posting on Facebook and, you know, doing live feeds and things like that. And so I really enjoy taking people along on some of my journeys, especially ones with cell reception.
Well, Payson's got PATS,
right.
Payson Area Trail System. It loops the entire Grass Valley area, just gorgeous trail system.
Flagstaff's got the Foots, the Flagstaff Urban Trail System. White Mountains has a really great trail system. So
they do. Sedona, how many trailheads do you need?
Exactly. And so this is the kind of thing that my company also does. I am working on a project right now in the town of Tucson, just south of the Grand Canyon, where I'm designed a community trail system for them. It's right now it's in the public comment period, and you can look at that if you go on the Town of Tucson website. And
is it going through public comment because it's on national forest property?
It's on national forest property. It's also on private land. And
okay.
So, you know, it's a great way for us to get feedback from the community, and the feedback so far has all been positive. And
you got a good interface between the private and the Forest Service?
Yes, that's one of the most important things, is to make sure that people in the community are the ones that are making the decisions. I'm not just coming in there and saying, this is what you need, this is what you need. You know, one of the first things that I did was interviews with the landowners and the concierge and, you know, tour guides and things like that, just to find out what was it that people really wanted. We also did a public questionnaire where people were able to, you know, tell what kind of types of recreation they were interested in, what were the needs of the town. And so it's about 11 and a half miles of new trails. And one of the most exciting parts of that is I've developed a Grand Canyon History Trail, which is a trail that will tell the human history of the Grand Canyon. So, you know, they have the Trail of Time for geology in the Grand Canyon.
That's the story that isn't told very often.
And, you know, as an archaeologist, this is one of the most important stories as far as I'm concerned, because people think that the Grand Canyon is Disneyland and it was built for them, you know, like the Magic Mountain or something like that. But people have lived there and still live there. You know, and it's been inhabited for thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
All right. So the Tucson Trail is a current project.
Yes.
Public comment closes shortly.
Yes, on
Monday. Could people? That's
yep.
really short.
Yep. It's right. been open for about a month and a half so
okay.
far.
Well, super. Well, we wish you the absolute best on that. Now, what's this Hike Like a Girl? That's a real thing.
That is a real thing, and it was developed by Teresa Baker, and she's the one who developed African American Parks Experience. And so it's actually Hike Like a Girl Weekend. So it's Hike Like a Girl Weekend all weekend long. And I think it's a really wonderful way. One of my big pushes with the Trails Inspire business is to get as many people outdoors as possible, and that's reaching out to, you know, women who, you know, people who might not think that they can be outdoorsy. Women, people of color, like, you know, I grew up, like I said, not in this kind of culture where you go hiking and things like that. And I think that people just need to be shown, you know, that it's something that they can do too. There's been some really wonderful groups that have arisen. There's a Diversify Outdoors Coalition that is made up of a bunch of different, Natives Outdoors and a group called Unlikely Hikers, Brown People Camping, Latino Outdoors, and Out There Adventures, among others. And so these are people that are really trying to expand the message that the outdoors is for everyone. And Outside Magazine this month has a wonderful series of articles about diversity in the outdoors.
Well, that's fantastic. And you've got a big event tomorrow.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. It's the Force of Nature Reunion Party put on by REI at Lost Dutchman State Park. Last year, REI developed the Force of Nature Women's Initiative to get women outdoors. And so the Force of Nature Reunion Party, they had done an event like this last year, and it went so well that they were doing another one this year. And it's at Lost Dutchman State Park from 10:30 to 12:30, and it's free. You just need to register, and there's still spots available. There will be a series of speakers. Debbie Johnson from the Arizona Office of Tourism will be there. Representatives from RAGNR and the Desert Foothills Mountain Bike Association, AOA Adventures, the Arizona Trail Association, and Women Who Hike. And
what a great way for someone just to kind of get introduced to the concept.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is that, I like to take people, I took people on the last 4 miles of my loop hike, and there were these three women that had never hiked before, and we interviewed them afterwards. And the best part was they said that now that they had been shown what to do and, you know, maps and things like that, they felt comfortable going out there by themselves, and they were really looking forward to doing it again. And that's what Trails Inspire is all about.
Well, it's going to be a little warmer than I think the sponsors were hoping for tomorrow, but you would just bring your Gossamer Light Flex hiking umbrella, right?
Exactly. I always have my umbrella with me. I am sponsored by Gossamer Gear, which they're a fantastic ultralight backpacking company, and they provide me with my backpack and my hiking poles and my tent and my umbrella. My umbrella, I don't go anywhere without it. What is there? You want water and shade in the desert. And if you can have your own portable shade, why not?
At the end of the day, it makes a big, big difference.
Huge.
How much the sun has or hasn't beat down on you. Gossamer Gear, take less, do more.
Absolutely. And that was a big part of my transformation from when I first started backpacking. I was carrying this gigantic, very heavy backpack filled with everything and the kitchen sink.
Couldn't leave anything at home, right?
Oh, no. I mean, there was this picture of my husband and I. My husband on his very only backpacking trip he ever took. Our backpacks, I mean, you could have set up house in them. And so, you know, to go from that to, and right now I'm carrying probably about 16 pounds without food and water. And it makes such a difference in, first of all, the comfort, but also the distance that I can go. I have fibromyalgia as a result of a car accident when I was 23. I was hit by a truck while I was walking across the street. Mm-hmm. And so I have a chronic pain condition called fibromyalgia, and which, you know, I can still do a lot of things, but I try to be as nice to my body as possible. And so being ultralight, a lightweight backpacker, that really helps the stress on my body.
Oh, I as a young man, I prided myself in, you know, my pack only weighed 87 pounds, and I could live out of it for a month. But
right.
It was the rim-to-rim hikes at the Grand Canyon that turned me into a minimalist.
Yep.
It's like just enough water to get to the next water stop. Call ahead, make sure the water's good and it's running, and just a minimalist. So the Gossamer Gear is that super, super lightweight stuff, and I'm on their site right now, and the one.
Yes.
The tent, the one. Just now, as we were talking, boom, hit sold out.
So, right. And that's because that tent weighs 19 ounces.
19 ounces for a tent. Okay, and your food bar made
right.
in Flagstaff.
Yes, so Huppy Bar is made in Flagstaff. Lindsay Hupp, I used to work with her on the river when I worked for Arizona River Runners as a river guide. And she developed these bars that are amazing. They're really tasty. And the most important part for a backpacker, they're super calorically dense. So they're only like 200 calories for under 2 ounces.
Serena Defoe, find her at Trails Inspire. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me on.